today on Real Life Radio.
In 2 Peter 3:11, the Bible says, "Therefore, since all these things someday will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be?" Well, he says, we should be in holy conduct and godliness. That means people ought to be able to tell that you're a Christian.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Looking for an inspiring way to pass some time? Or maybe just need some help to get through your workday? How about listening while you work? Real Life Podcasts with Jack Hibbs brings you real stories, real people with real life experiences. From inspiring journeys to thought-provoking conversations, we've got it all. So discover a world of knowledge, laughter, and connection. Real Life Podcasts and so much more are available on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, What You Should Know About the Real Jesus, Part 2. You know, the Gospel of Luke series is one that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as only Luke, the physician, could do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 21, we'll consider how to prepare for challenging times. You see, in these verses, Jesus talks about the future and what signs to watch for. He will mention the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem and the rise of false prophets, wars, natural disasters, and great persecution. But Jesus also encourages the people to stay strong and trust in God's ultimate plan. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that a relationship with Jesus is far greater than all the difficulties we face in knowing Him. Ridicule? It's simply an open door to share Jesus Christ and His unfailing love for us. Now, with his message called What You Should Know About the Real Jesus, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Fearful sights. The word is phobias, phobiatron. It means a terrible, frightening fear seen by things. It's a phobia, fear, a terrible pain that you see something and it terrifies you to the point where it strangles you. Jesus says that there'll be people in the last days seeing what's coming because they don't know Christ. They'll see what's coming and their hearts will fail them for fear. They'll have heart attacks because of the horrible things that are coming. As far as I know, those things have not yet happened on a grand scale, although I guess if I lived in Phuket, Thailand, and I saw the ocean come in and swallow people up, maybe that might give me a heart attack, you know? Amazing. I know this is not exciting stuff, but at least you'll be equipped by the end of the day to be thinking about, hey, man, thank God I'm a believer. By the way, I love how incredibly prophetically accurate Jesus, the Bible, his prophets are. It's amazing. The Bible says, by the way, regarding these things that are coming, he speaks about great signs from, the word is heavenlies, from above. Things that are happening in the atmosphere above you and I, from our nose up to the stars. He says, you're going to start seeing stuff that's going to freak people out. Now, frankly, I don't think we've seen what he's talking about yet coming. It's yet future. But keep this in mind. He talks about great signs, meaning unexplainable wonders, unexplainable events, things that cause you to be, or things that cause a spectacle. Now, I don't know what that is. Is it meteors? Are we going to see weirdness going on in the sky? Maybe so, possibly. Is it an allusion to, listen, don't misquote me on this, is it an allusion to things appearing in the sky that people would say, look, a UFO. Oh, look, a flying saucer. I believe those things appear to people. I don't believe they're flying saucers, and I don't believe they're aliens. I believe they're demonic manifestations to fool people. I think that may be that one of the things Jesus is warning about. In the last days, isn't it amazing how people are just enamored with aliens? Aliens, wouldn't that be a great satanic plan to get people to start listening to aliens? What if aliens landed and started saying, you know what, Jesus, he's one of ours? Huh? I think those things are not aliens from some other world. I think they're demons from hell. Didn't the Bible say in the last days there'll be doctrines from or of demons? Okay, anyway. So what do we do? In 2 Peter 3:11, the Bible says, therefore, since all these things someday will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be? Well, he says, we should be in holy conduct and godliness. That means people ought to be able to tell that you're a Christian. Not necessarily by, I mean, here I am. Do I look like a Christian right now? Yes. What do you mean, yes? Oh, brother. Don't I look like normal? Okay? You look normal. I should be able to be in my culture here, where I live, and though I might look like everybody else, what comes out of my life is godly and holy by how I conduct myself, truly by what I wear, by what I think, by what I allow my eyes to see, what my ears to hear. We are to be different. You guys know this. We're to be different. Peter said, everything's going to be dissolved. So what do? You live godly lives. Why? Because we're going home. I hope it's today, but we're going home. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. I want to give you permission. Okay? You have permission. You say, permission for what? I want you to go off for God. Not yet. Wait till the service is over, and then I want you to go off for God. People that live on your street and my street, people that live in our communities, they need what you have. We need to stop being so content. Think about it. When we walk around without telling people about Jesus or inviting them to know the Lord, we're really saying, man, I'm going to heaven. It's going to be 73 degrees every day. And you, look at you. You don't say this, but you go, man, you're going to hell. You're going to hell, burning hot. You say, I would never say that. Well, when we don't tell them about the love of God, we're telling them that. We're holding back something that will deliver them. Listen, here's what you can do. See, what do you need? How do I go off for God? Okay, this is how you do it. Number one, find out who is in need in your neighborhood. Okay, your neighborhood, not mine, your neighborhood. Find out. This is just, look, you're going to do this or not. You better do this. Who's in need in your neighborhood? Do you know somebody? Did they break their foot? Are they sick? Did they lose their job? Did someone die? Go to the door. Help them out. Number two, listen to this. Go to your city that you live in. Go to the city and ask them, is there any community need? Do you have a community need? Yeah, you know what? We need somebody to walk the little kids across the crosswalk at the school. Sign up for that. Why? You do that, you're benefiting the community, and watch God open up the door. Some little kid's going to walk up and say, do you know Jesus Christ? Can you lead me to the Lord and baptize me right here in the street? You don't know what's going to happen. But God will bless your obedience. He really will. He will bless you. Listen, thirdly, look in a local newspaper and find some really sad story. That this little old lady dog got run over? Find out from the newspaper, where does she live? I want to go visit her. I want to, maybe I'll get her a puppy. You can say, Jack, that's silly. What are you doing now to help that little old lady? Did someone die in the neighborhood? Is someone broken leg again? Go mow their lawn. Find out. Did you read in the newspaper that this family got broken into and they've got nothing? Go to them. How fun would that be? Go to their house, knock on their door. I just want to know what size shirt you guys wear. Large, small, medium. I'll see you later. Oh no, get them gift certificates. How fun would that be? You guys, Christianity is that. And then it opens up a door. We get so bent on telling people and never helping them. We got to change that around or do both. And then also this, we can go out for God by visiting a nearby fire station or a police station and say, hey, look, here's some cookies. I thank God for what you guys and gals are doing. I appreciate you. You guys are watchmen of our community, and I just wanted to say thank you. You know what they're going to say? They're going to say, who are you? What's with you? And that's when you say, I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. Okay? Don't sit there and go, I'm just me. It's just me. See ya. No, that's your moment. If they ask, tell them. Tell them. Now, some of you are going to write me and say, I didn't like that. You know why? Because you're getting convicted right now because the Holy Spirit's telling you to go do those cute little fun things and you don't want to do it. So you just stay with you and enjoy yourself. Secondly, verses 12 to 15, look at this, that you and I, he wants us to be discerning about the age in which you and I live in because, listen, we've got something to say. Well, you guys, we have got the greatest news that the universe has ever or will ever hear. We've got it. What are we doing with this? Watch this. Verse 12. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you. You guys, that's a promise. Cut that out on your Bible and put it on your dashboard. That not only happened to those that were standing in front of him, he's speaking to his followers right then and there, but you guys, that's true for every age of believer, Christians. They will persecute you. They'll deliver you up to the synagogues and prisons. That's very specific concerning his disciples. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, Jesus says. Remember that broad brush paint that he's speaking about, or that I spoke about earlier? He's speaking about his disciples all the way through to the end of the great tribulation period that is yet to come. Now, you got to think about something. We've got something to say. Plus, who would sign up to be abused or arrested or tortured like this? You say, well, nobody would sign up to be abused. I agree, nobody, unless you and I have something to say that is so awesome and so fantastic, listen, and so spiritual, that's not of this world, that it causes a response. That thing that we're saying is so fantastic to us. Friends, listen, I plead with you. Those of us who are Christians, you're going to get this in a second. Those of you who are not a Christian, listen carefully. What we have is so beyond this world that we can't be quiet about it. We will dog you down. We will find you. We will hunt you. And we will put a track in your sandwich. When you bite into it, it's going to say Jesus loves you. We will find you. Why? Because listen, no one is putting a gun to our head and saying, you got to go do this. You got to go conquer this world. No, Jesus said, listen, because this happened to you, go therefore into all the world and preach this gospel. By the way, we're to preach the gospel, not beat people up until they accept it. We're to just preach it. Tell people. It's the greatest thing ever. We are not Christians because we're in a club. We're Christians because God has dramatically changed our lives. And if you don't know that, then maybe you ought to consider becoming a Christian and not being a religionist. Big difference. We've been changed. Because of that, we've got something to say. We don't listen. We don't walk around saying something. You know, you get in trouble for saying something. I don't know the details, but listen, Christians do that all the time. Hey, you know, I don't know anything about that, but and it all comes out. No. Listen, don't say something. Didn't Peter do that? Peter was great. It said when Jesus was transfigured in front of Peter, I always want to say Peter, Paul, and Mary, you know, Peter, Peter, James, and John, when he was transformed in front of them, Peter, it says, while Moses and Elijah spoke to Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter answered and said, it's good for us to be here. Let us build three tents, one for you, Jesus, and Moses and Elijah. No one asked Peter anything. No one asked him. He just starts shooting his mouth off. He's saying something. He didn't have something to say. Christian, you've got something to say. You know the gospel. It's amazing. Now, you'd think when you say this that people would say, take me to your leader. This is the best thing ever. Why do people freak out against the gospel? Why do they foam at the mouth, go crazy? Why do they even want to kill you? Because it's a spiritual thing. You guys, if we showed up and said, hi, Amway, want some of this? They'd say, no, I don't want that today. Thank you. Bye. But if we say, hi, Jesus loves you, get off my porch. Why does that happen? Spiritual issue. It's a spiritual thing.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
He goes on to say this, verse 12, it's for my name's sake. Well, we'd say it today, because you've been hanging out with Jesus, boy, are you in trouble. It's for his glory. Stephen knew something about that. Stephen was proclaiming Jesus as Lord and Savior, Acts chapter 7. And what happens? The leaders of the nation turn on him and they stone him to death. The amazing thing is, you guys, Stephen was there dying, getting stoned, and he looks up and he says, I see Jesus at the right hand of God the Father. Rocks are coming, can you imagine? And then Stephen, because He hung around Jesus, no doubt. Stephen says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That sounds just like Jesus, doesn't it? You see, the more you hang out with him, the more you're going to talk like him. The more you're going to relate to people like him, like he did. Look at verse 13. Get your highlighter out. This is very exciting stuff. Verse 13, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. The word occasion means this, a favored moment, a specific time. We call them divine appointments. It means an appointed season. It means an open door. It means a moment to proclaim. The word also can mean to give witness. What is what? Church, listen carefully, because it's going to happen to you and I in due time, quite possibly. As Christians today, we will be attacked for being a believer. We'll be ridiculed at least that, mocked, maybe even violently dealt with. Check it out. What are you going to do? Oh my gosh, Jesus fell off the throne. It's over. The whole kingdom's imploding. It's the end of the world. No, God says, cheer up. It's a total radical occasion. It's a divine appointment. What is? People are persecuting you. How could that be divine? Because God's given you a platform to proclaim Christ in that moment. It's an amazing moment. You go to school tomorrow and you say whatever you say or whatever. You go to work and, here comes the Christian. Look, there he comes to his cubicle. Is this a holy cubicle? There goes the holy man. Oh, hey, preacher, how you doing? How was church yesterday? Listen, the Bible says that's an occasion to share Christ. You want to quiet them down? Next time they make fun of you, say, okay, here's the deal. You guys want to make fun? Okay, here's the deal. This is what happened at church yesterday. Tell them. They won't ask you again. Verse 14 says, he says, settle it in your hearts. Let it sink deep like an anchor hits the bottom. That's what it means, in your hearts. Not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. For I, mark it, highlight it, who? Jesus is saying from that time all the way to the end, 2,000 years. He says, verse 15, I will give you a mouth and wisdom which your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. I love that. I know that's true. I have debated with people. I have talked with people far beyond my education. Way beyond. And you give them the truth and God begins to speak through you and you know it. And you're like going, man, I didn't know I was so smart. This is amazing. And this guy's got his PhDs and all this stuff. And he's going, bleh, bleh, well, you know, And you're just like, that's God doing that stuff. And you walk away going, wow. Have you ever had that happen? If you've never had it happen, sign up for the call. Sign up for a mission trip. Go with us. Watch what happens. God will use you. In fact, you know what? Isn't that biblical? John 14, 25, Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have told you. That is exciting. Last thing, verses 16 to 19, that you and I are to be discerning in the age and by what we see, because you and I would experience acceptance and assurance. I love this. Jesus said, you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Church, this is happening today as I speak in the world. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Persecution, rejection, even death for being a Christian. Listen. In Christianity, if we have a friend, a family member, or a child depart from Christianity and become a Mormon, a Jehovah's Witness, a Muslim, or whatever, what do we do about it? Anybody want to tell me? What do we do? Pray. Cry out to God. Fast. Other religions, if you leave their cults and you become a Christian, that's done by the threat of death. Ostracized. Beaten. Or like in China, in Vietnam, tongues being cut off, people giving their hearts to Jesus, and their family members catching them and cutting their tongues off. Go to Voices of the Martyrs. They're heating up hot frying pans, glowing hot. They cut the tongue off, and then they burn the end of the tongue because they converted to Christianity. Christians pray. Those of the cults and other beliefs want to kill. Didn't Jesus say this 2,000 years ago? You'll be betrayed by your parents because you become a Christian. You'll be betrayed by your brothers and sisters, by your relatives, by your friends. Some of you will even be put to death. You're going to be hated because you know me, Jesus is saying. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. Well, that's a good word, isn't it? Acceptance and assurance. No matter what color we are, no matter where we've come from, here's the awesome thing. In Jesus Christ, we have acceptance and assurance in Him. He will never leave you or forsake you. He'll never cast you out. These believers, imagine right now in your lap, you've got a Bible right here. And in the future, in the tribulation period, we don't know when that's going to be. Could be 7 years from now, could be 70, could be 700 years from now. Think about it. There'll be believers during that age picking up the Bible and reading it and getting absolute comfort and absolute assurance because it's the Word of God. It never fails. It's forever. It's eternal and it's secure. And the same assurance that you have today, they're going to need then. And it's the same assurance that they've read centuries and millennia back. I love being a Christian. It's radical. I can't imagine being a lukewarm, pretend Christian. He's there for us. The Bible says, Jesus said in Matthew 16:25, whoever desires to save his life is going to lose it. But if you lose your life, you're going to find it. Listen to this. Some of you need to hear this verse. Peter began to say to Jesus, Jesus, we've left everything, Mark 10:28. We've left everything for you. Listen to Peter. Come on, what perks do we get? We've left everything to follow you. And Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands, that is country, or for my sake and for the gospel's sake, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Isn't it amazing? Look at us. Our family now, I don't know about you guys, I think I'm speaking for you, but my family is a Christian family now. It far transcends my bloodline family. The closest people I have in my life are those of the household of faith. We share no blood, but we share the Spirit of God, and that's thicker than blood. Think about that. Are you experiencing that too in your life? Most of the time, family wants to reject you, persecute you, cast you out, and if they could, kill you. Well, Pastor Jack, don't you go to your family and don't you just preach the gospel and they all fall down and accept Christ right in front of you? No, they just say, oh, Jack, that's so cute. You and your little church, go away, be quiet, sit in the corner. Jesus said that. We have honor everywhere we go, except where? Our own house. Wow. Many of you have lost, listen, I know some of you here today, I won't even look in your direction. You have lost inheritance, you have lost your name, you have lost your family, they have told you to get out, and if they find you again, they're gonna deal with you because you became a Christian. That should scream volumes to you. And then here we end with this, I love it. Verse 18 and 19, but not a hair on your head shall be lost. By your patience, possess your souls. Let's read it backwards. By your patience, possess your souls. You know what that means? You know the truth. You know the end. Hang in there. Don't give up. Everything's good for you. Everything's fine.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called What You Should Know About the Real Jesus, Part 2. Thanks for being here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. What is the ultimate point and purpose of Bible prophecy? Is it to scare us or prepare us? There's a special book by the prophecy pros, Jeff Kinley and Tom Hampston, that breaks it all down and makes it real simple, answering questions like, why are there different interpretations of prophetic Bible scriptures? How do we know which is correct? When it comes to symbolic prophecies, How do we decide to interpret them literally or metaphorically? The Prophecy Pros Illustrated Guide to Tough Questions About the End Times simplifies difficult and confusing aspects of last days prophecy using easy-to-understand language, diagrams, images, and statistics. If you've ever been unsure about the purpose, the context, or timeline of end times prophecy, let the Prophecy Pros put your mind at ease with this practical and informative guide. A copy of the Prophecy Pros Illustrated Guide to Tough Questions About the End Times will be sent to you when you donate to the Ministry of Real Life today. Get your copy at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.